I think this season, some of us may be having sore throat, cough, change of weather, but it's good to be in God's house. Can you hear me? Yes. Well, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to pray for a couple that is celebrating their 50-year wedding anniversary. You know, one thing I like the Bible is that every feast in the Old Testament is a celebration of God's goodness and God's faithfulness. And every celebration is filled with joy and rejoicing. So God wants us to celebrate, firstly, celebrate Him, celebrate life, celebrate family, celebrate marriage, and today, we are able to celebrate with you and Agnes on their 50 years anniversary. Now, 50 years is not just a milestone. It is a gold bar. Because 50 years anniversary is called gold anniversary. Half a century together. They do have a story and a testimony to share about God's faithfulness and goodness. That was 50 years ago, and they got married on the 26th of September 1970 in Delaville. Look at that. Jude was only 24 and Agnes was 23. Love strike, and they tied a knot. And most important is not just Jude and Agnes, they have a third party, and that is what? God. Amen. The three string knot that make the marriage so strong. Now, Jude has always tell me, there are three reasons why Agnes married him. He said, first, she married him for the look. Say, second, she married him for the charm. And thirdly, she married him for the money. But I want you to know, after 50 years, the look is still there. And the charm is still growing. But the money has not come yet. But you think about that. 50 years. They have three daughters, four grandchildren, three boys and one girl. The eldest grandchild is 25 and the youngest is 7. You put them all together, they say it costs about $250,000 to bring a baby to a young adult. Put them all together, there's where your money is. A great investment. But one thing they say, that despite their ups and downs, they have kept looking unto Jesus, and Christ has always been their constant help in times of need. And their advice to young people, is this. When you start your life, keep on looking to Jesus. Keep on pressing to Jesus. Pursue the things of God. And sometime in your prayer, it may look as if nothing is happening. There is falling on deaf ear. But believe this, that God answers prayer. And they have learned that God is faithful to answer their prayer. He is faithful even when we are not. And their marriage has been founded on Christ, the solid rock. They have stayed strong, diligent, and trust Him because God never fails. And they have loved each other and they are going to keep on loving each other. Would you both come? We're going to pray for you. The good news I have to tell you, sister, in some places, 60 years is diamond, 65 is diamond, 70 is diamond. That means from 60 to 75 to 70, there are three diamonds. You know why there are three diamonds? It all has to do with the size. Each year, each 5 years, it has to be bigger and bigger and bigger. Brother, the Bible says that he that found a wife found a good thing, but it's also a costly thing. I want Pastor Kara and my wife to come. Why don't you stretch your hand towards them? It's a time to rejoice. It said that less than 10% of marriage lasts 50 years. You see, I mean, for reason known and unknown, to be able to be together for 50 years, it reflects the goodness, the grace of God. It does not mean that you leave God to do everything. After all, you got her, you must love her, and you must continue to love her. It's a partnership that we have with God. I pray that we have more and more people that is able to come forward and celebrate 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. Wow, 80 years, I don't know how old they will be. Because it is really a testimony that God is good. Amen. Just as we have sang the song. Let's pray. Father, we humbly stand before you and witness your grace and blessing over Jude and Agnes, Lord. In these past 50 years, God, you have been faithful and good, Lord. And we celebrate with them, Lord. We recall the day that you have joined them together as husband and wife for life. We thank you, Lord, that you have been with them in their daily journey, in their journey of up and down, even till today. Lord, I pray that you increase the sense of belonging in each one of them. I pray, Lord, that even as your word has said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and two shall be one flesh. So they are no longer two but one. May they experience it each year, each day, greater and greater dimension, Lord, as they become more and more one in you, Lord, and in one another. And I pray, Father, for your hand over them. We acknowledge your presence, your strength, and your help and hope so freely given to them. We pray, Lord, they will continue to grow in their ability to work together and to love each other and to be good to each other and to be good, oh God, to the family and to those around them. That many will call them blessed because you are with them, Lord. I ask that you fill them with living faith, blessed hope, and glory and generous love, Lord. That you will guide and empower them, that the love that is stated in 1 Corinthians 13, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, oh God. All this, oh God, will be so real to both of them. I pray, Lord, you increase their sense of companionship and friendship as they share their life with laughter. A deep sense of humor be released in them, Lord. Enable them to speak truth and love. Help them to be good listeners to one another in their faith journey. Lord, I pray you surround them with good friends and neighbors. You protect them protect their home. You care for their family. You provide for all their needs. You give them good health to enjoy you, O God, to enjoy each other, to enjoy family and friends and church, O God. I pray, Lord, that they will be able to finish well, finish strong, leaving a legacy for the next generation, O God. May they enjoy many more anniversary together. We pray with them. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
May I say something, Pastor?
Yes.
I didn't think I was going to make 50 years. For many of you, you know I've been very sick from 2018 to 2019. I've been in and out of hospital 8 times. I've got to thank my God. I've got to thank my lovely pastor, his beautiful wife, you church people that prayed for me, each and every one of you. I'm going to get sentimental and cry. And my beautiful husband who stood by me. I know that I would not have made it without him or with God. They both brought me through. You guys prayed for me. I'm here today. I celebrated my 73rd birthday. I can't believe it. God is good. Can we sing that song once more? Can we please sing that song once more? God has been so good. All together? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Thank you, my Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Thank you, my Heavenly Father. Bless you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
And there's a cake from them. They will want you all to enjoy after the church service. Well, this morning, I'm going to look from the book of Numbers chapter 21. And the title of my sermon is Spring Up, O Well. It's found in Numbers 21. Verse 16. From there they went to Beer. The Bible talk about Beer. B-E-E-R. Wow, you must be surprised. Why it means this? The word Beer means well. W-E-L-L. So from there, they went to well. All of you, they went to well, where the Lord said to Moses, gather the people together and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well. All of you sing it. The well of the leader sang, dug by the nation noble, by the lawgiver with a stick. From the wilderness, they went to Mentana. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the reading of your words. Lord, we thank you that you have a message for each one of us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been thirsty? I'm thirsty, very, very thirsty, and I need a drink. Have you ever been there? And I need a drink, not later, not tomorrow. I need a drink. Now, Jesus Christ, our Savior, was on the cross. And on the cross, he experienced thirst himself. He cried out, I am thirsty. Now, there are 2 million people. 2 million people, fathers, mother, children. One thing for us, adults, to be thirsty. But when children are thirsty, their irritation and their feelings are totally different. The sickly are thirsty. The elderly are thirsty. So 2 million people cry out to Moses and said, we are thirsty. I mean, it's not a pleasant feeling to be thirsty. When you are thirsty, you get dehydration. And when you get dehydration, you become dizzy. Your heart beat faster. You breathe faster. You become grumpy. You become tired. You become fatigued. And then you get confused. And eventually, fainting kick in. Israel is a nation in the wilderness that experienced thirst few occasions. In Exodus chapter 15, 3 days after they crossed the Red Sea, they saw the miraculous power of God. God revealed himself how powerful he is to deliver them out of the Egyptians. They crossed the Red Sea. 3 days later, they were thirsty. They forgot about the God who had did them miracles. And they grumble. They came to Moses and they grumble. So God told Moses, Moses, I want you to take a little stick and throw into this bitter water. And this bitter water will become sweet. And their thirst will satisfy. Then you find in Exodus chapter 17, again they were thirsty. Again they came to Moses and they murmur. You know what is to murmur? Murmur is called a low tone. A low tone. They're not shouting, they're not complaining, they are murmuring. Murmuring the end up to complain and grumbling. Murmur is a low tone. Hey, do you know? How come like that? Should not be one. What is Moses trying to do? Why he bring us out of Egypt? We were having a good time. Why is he trying to do? So they start to murmur. You see, Israel have learned. When they want something, they murmur. When they don't have what they want, they murmur. But they forgot that murmuring is the devil music. So God told Moses, Moses, go to the rock, strike the rock with this rod that's in your hand. And when Moses did it, water rushed out. The thirst of the people was quenched again. Then you come to Numbers 20 again. The people never stop murmuring when they are thirsty. Instead of seeing God's faithfulness and God's goodness, instead of going to him in prayer, they grumble, they murmur. They came to Moses and murmur again. Only in number 20, they did not murmur against Moses, but they murmur against God. No water, no food. Moses, the Bible tells us, he was a very meek man. But the murmuring got into him. He affected his brain. It got into his nerve and he lost his cool. And this time God told Moses, Moses, go to the rock, speak to the rock, water, come out. He was so caught up by their murmuring that when he went to the rock, instead of speaking to the rock, he took the rock that is in the hand and struck the rock. Water came out. We all should be happy. But God told Moses this, Moses, because you disobeyed me, you did not sanctify me before the eyes of the people, you will not enter the promised land. That's quite frightening. And this is one verse, one incident of Moses that has spoke to my heart very dearly. If you know me, I was called the Raging Bull. Brother Charles and me both were elders of the church. I'm the hot one, the Raging Bull. Brother Charles is the pale face, the patient one. But I learned one day when I lost my cool with my wife. And I'm telling you, when people say God speaks to me, people sometimes take it so lightly. But this one, God really speak to me. And he said, that's it. Don't ever lose your temper with your wife. Wonder I treat my wife so well. She got God on her side. So Moses thought, hey, it doesn't matter, water came out. Now here's the lesson to life. The end does not justify the mean. The end is the goal, the mean is the method. Not just about the result, but the method is important to God. That's why the why is as important as the how. We are living a world that wants to see success. Do you know that even churches and Christians, even business Christians, man, will take shortcut for success? But let me tell you, there is a day of reckoning. Now we come to number 21. What happened in number 20 when they complained? The God who is so long-suffering and patient, look at them and say, that's it. I'm going to send a fiery serpent until they raise the brazen serpent and the plague stop. So Israel learned their lesson. Don't murmur. In number 21, this time, they were thirsty again. But you know, this time, they never murmur anymore. In fact, from that time when God sent the fiery serpent over them, from that time onward, they never murmured till the day they entered the promised land. How many days does it take Israel to enter the promised land? How many days? It only takes 11 days. 11 days. When they came out of Egypt, they could have entered the promised land. But their murmuring has cost them 40 years in the wilderness. I think sometimes in our life it's the same. God has good things for us, but we do murmur against him. Any of us can get caught in it. God, why? Why? And that actual fact, steal and shortchange what God has for us. And this time, they were thirsty and they did not murmur. And God sent them to this place called the well. When they reached the well, they were so thankful. But when they reached the well, it was a dry well. No water. But one thing, they never murmur. The well was dry. It was filled with dirt, with rock, with all kinds of debris. They could tell themselves, another disappointment. Have you ever been there before? You thought this is the answer. You thought this is the solution. You thought today is the day. But it never came. They went to the well. Another disappointment. It has never happened as what they expect. But God said, come on, Moses, gather the people together. Gather the people together. And this is my promise to you. I will give you water. Water in the desert. Water is coming out of this desert. I'm going to turn the thing around and I'm going to do something out of the ordinary. But this promise that Moses received was not just stand there and watch the water. We were like that, don't we? We like God to do everything. Stand there and watch the water. This promise that Moses tells them, there's something they have to do. They have to dig the well and they have to sing the song. Sing the song, spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. And one thing about singing, I don't know about you. This morning we are singing songs. But I'm telling you, it's possible for us to sing song mechanically. But when I'm telling you, when you are in love, how many of you have been in love before? When you are in love and you play love music, and when you sing with the love music, you sing differently, don't you think so? Now God, tell them, I want you to sing songs. Because no matter what, you need to understand, songs, the music, the wording, the tempo, reflects the what? The heart. When you are happy, you sing what? Happy song. When you are sad, you sing what? Happy song. Why are you always going to sing sad song? And so God said, I want you to sing song. You know, I want you to sing song. Because song reflects our heart. In the Bible, you see scripture, there are songs of joy, song of hope, song of sadness, of course, song of despair. But there's one thing amazing. When men and women sing a song instead of crying in despair or screaming in hopelessness, when they sing a song in the dark hour, in the most challenging moment, their song gives them a breakthrough, a deliverance, a hope and strength. How many of you know Elvis Presley? Elvis Presley has this favorite album called Jailhouse Rock. If you are my age, you will know that. He sings the Jailhouse with his guitar. Now, let me tell you one thing. Elvis Presley was not the first one to sing Jailhouse Rock. I tell you who was the first one. It's in the Bible when Paul and Silas was in prison. They sang. And when they sang, everybody could hear. And when they sang to God, it rocked the jail. The Bible tells the door was open and the change came out. So God tells Moses, Moses, tell these people to dig and to sing. Because for too long, Israel had not sung a song. You know, when was the last time they sang the song? The last time they sang the song was that when they came out of the Red Sea. When they came out of the Red Sea, they saw the miracle and the power of God, and they sang the song called the Song of the Sea, or the Song of Moses. There they sang, and Moses' sister came out with a woman with a trembling, and there they say this, sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. But they have stopped singing, stopped praising, stopped declaring God's faithfulness and goodness, but just complain, grumble, and murmur. They have used their mouth for the wrong reason. But now God is telling Moses, tell these people, change their attitude, change their language, change their heart, change their action by digging and singing this song, spring out, oh well. You see, singing is the voice of the mouth. Didn't the Bible say life and death comes out of what? The mouth. Didn't the Bible say hope and despair come out of the mouth? And so God is telling them, I want you to sing. It's so that when you sing, spring up, oh well, something that I'm going to do, something that is positive. When you sing, you can hear your own voice. And when you can hear your own voice, it becomes your confession of, I believe, we believe. Not doubt or murmur. So that they can hear their faith and hope. Lord, we are singing because we believe. We are singing because we are expecting for water to come out. Digging is work. You see, the thing that you got to understand about God is God will always ask you to do what is possible and leave the impossible to Him. Yes, it is possible for them to sing. It is possible for them to dig. Even though the well is dry, and this is a well that has been left and abandoned. But yet, if they will just do it, and not leave it to God and say, I'll see what would happen. While they were digging, the Noah and the leader and the prince, while they dug, and the people begin to sing, spring out, oh well. Spring out, oh well. It's so important for us. As leaders in the home, fathers, you are the leaders at home, leaders in the church of Grace City Church, leaders where God has placed you, it is so important for you to sing a good song, a great song, a powerful song, a hopeful song, because you are called to be an example, an inspirator, a cheerleader, an encourager. And this leader, they begin to dig. You know, they did not use first class or special tools. The Bible tells they dig with what? The staff that was in their hand. If you understand, those days, every man that travels have a staff. One of the reasons why they have the staff is to make sure that there is no hole when they walk, or when there is snake, at least it will frighten the snake. It was something they used to protect. And the Bible tells us that they used what was in their hand. It may be just a staff. It may be just a rock. They used what was in their hand, and they begin to dig and dig, and the people sing the song, spring up, oh well. Here is a great lesson. Use what is in your hand and expect God to do the rest. Because when you use what is in your hand, you will be shocked. You will be surprised of what God can do with the simple thing that is in your hand. They did not just sing their own song. I think so. I hope so. Maybe water will come. Maybe not. Or they did not dig wherever and whenever they want. But they sang the song, the word that is given by God, spring up a well, and they dig the well that God has led them. See, both singing and digging is actual fact confession and action. It is faith and work. It is we believe and we act. And so I want you to sing with me. Sing together the same song, the same tune, and the same beat, because water is under the dirt, just around the corner. They did not sing alone, but they sing together, one voice, one heart. In the heart and spirit of unity, God can perform His promises. We must be united together and not be alone by ourselves. You know, when things does not happen to you and you are discouraged, you are depressed or distressed, it's easy for you to stay away and to be by yourself. Let me tell you, that is the work of the enemy. You should go to church. You should go to the powerhouse. You should connect with other brothers and sisters, that together, not self-isolation. Unless you're coming back from overseas. But I'm telling you, sometimes Christians self-isolate themselves. You know why they self-isolate themselves? It's such a fact, flow out of self-condemnation. So, God said, get these people together, sing the song of thanksgiving, of what God has done in the past. Sing the song of faith, of the promise of the present, I will give you water, and sing the song of hope for the future, and you will be just not just water, but you will be water that is flowing in abundance out of the dirt. You will never run out. You see, God knew what Israel needed. At that time, they were thirsty. God did not send meat for them. God knew what Israel needed at that hour, at the time, at the day, and he met that need generously, because God is a good God. And I want you to know from the Bible, from God's word, no children of God will ever go without the necessity of life. Can you believe that? He will provide supernaturally, like he sent meat to Elijah through the raven. He will provide through his people, like we providing for the orphanage in Nain. And he will provide through our enemy. You don't believe that? Like the four lepers in the enemy camp, and the whole nation was fed. God promised, I will give them water, divine supply, suitable supply, abundant supply, and it's a sure supply, because he promised it, he will fulfill it. He did not say, I may or I may not, I will not. But he said for sure, I will. You see, when they are digging and singing, at first, they may sing in confusion. Understand what I'm doing. Or in disappointment, or in guilt, or in pain. Whatever it is, as they begin to sing, is the doorway that is opening by God for a place of healing, a place of forgiveness, a place of restoration, a place of renewal. Something takes place. God, I don't quite understand, but I'm going to do it. But as I'm doing it, Lord, as I sing, as I hear, something is changing what? Inside here. And I think, folks, we need to start to sing again. We need to start to sing again. You want a fresh visitation in Grace City Church? For yourself, sing again. You want to have victory over your defeat? Sing again. You want to get out of prison, of your bondage? Sing again. You want a breakthrough? Sing again. Because when you sing that song, and I want you to know, when you sing the song, your breakthrough, your miracle, your deliverance is just a song away. Just one song away. Sometimes we may tell ourselves, they are in the desert. No water, no spring. But this is what God is saying to them when they dig and sing. God is saying, the water is under the sand. Sing it. And when you sing it, it will spring forth. Because when you sing it, It's the voice of faith. It's the language of faith. It's believing in God's promise, in what God said, agreeing in what God is about to do. So when they sing out, spring up, oh well. This song, Spring Up, Oh Well, is called the Song of the Well. It's the practice of singing this song that continue on the third Sabbath according to the Jewish tradition, that the people will look at each other and they will sing this song, "Spring our well, spring our well." And it was to encourage and exhort one another to sing to the well as a prayer, as a plea to God to continue to supply their need. You remember when Israel was in exile? When they were in exile, they still continue to sing this song, "Spring up, O well." When they were in exile, they were gathered and they were singing, "Spring up, O well," because they believed that somehow God in His goodness and promise will bring them back to the promised land. So Israel sang. And we need to sing. We need to sing. And one thing about when they sing, as they begin to sing, it increases in volume and intensity. As they dig deeper and sing louder, spring out a while. And as water begin, you see, and you begin to see water. Water does not shoot up in the first place. It begins to wet the dirt. When they see the water begin to wet the dirt, come out something. Hey, now you can sing with greater loudness, with greater clarity, with greater certainty. And now when they sing, "Spring our well, spring our well," they're not singing for it to happen. They are singing because it is happening. And then when they sing out, it is happening. Water break forth and spring forth. As water flowed, so was their faith. So was their voice. So was their volume and intensity. Maybe your well, as Pastor Kara has shared a few Sundays ago, maybe your well is blocked like Jacob's well. Genesis 26. Jacob was blessed by God, but the Philistines were jealous and unhappy. They stopped all the well that Jacob had dug and filled it with dirt. What did Isaac do? He did not quit or give up. He dug against the well and reclaimed the well, which was his right. His father Abraham has paid for the well and has done the work. It is mine. Maybe sometime in our life, people have spoken unkind things against you. We are all emotional beings. We all have feelings. We can all get hurt. Even how we can put that, "Punch me now, I won't get hit. Come on, come on." Even we can put all these false ones, but actual fact, you take out the mask, we are just human. How many of you are alive? And those things that has been spoken against you have eaten you up and taken hold of you. Injustice and unfairness. You learn about life. Life is not fair. Injustice happens to even good people. Has knocked you out. Disappointment after disappointment has dispirited you. And so much dirt has been thrown on you. Your well is blocked. It is dry. No rejoicing. No joy. No expectation. But I want you to know, you cannot continue to live this way. You must dig and reclaim the well of your salvation. Let your heart be encouraged. Let your voice break forth. Spring up, O well. Say to the well of your soul, Jesus said that in here there is a well that is being blocked. Say to the well of your soul, spring up, O well. Erupt well. break forth well for too long, the well of your soul is blocked and dry. Routine, religiosity, do and do and do, but no joy, no rejoicing. It's time. It's time to dig the well and sing the song, spring up, O well. It's a song. As you sing this song, it's a prayer, it's a praise, it's a promise, it's one of God's providence. It's a song of thanksgiving. It is a sweet song. Sing like a nightingale. It's time to dig again, sing again, believe again, hope again, and love again. It may not be easy to sing when there is no water. God, if water comes out, I will sing. If you have water, there is no difficulty to sing. There is no need for faith to sing. There is no need for expectation to sing because it is already there. A person that has everything can be happy. But when you don't have, can you still be happy? You see, it takes faith to believe in the goodness of God. You look at yourself and say, I look at myself. Circumstances tell me I'm an empty well. My thoughts have tell me it is not possible. Others have tell me give up. But God is saying, you want water? How many of you want water? He's saying, if you want water, you got to dig and sing. It's not going to just. So God is saying to Israel, you want water? The only way is to dig and sing, spring up a well. Because it is your digging and sinking that caused the water that is trapped at the bottom. The water is trapped at the bottom. But as you sing and dig and say, God, spring up, erupt, oh well, spring forth, God. Let this water spring. That water that is trapped below begin to move and move to the surface. And then you see, the dirt is wet, bit by bit. And then, water spring forth in the desert of your soul. Thousands of years later, Jesus Christ stood beside Jacob's well. And he had this conversation with a Samaritan woman who came to draw water from the well. Jesus said to her, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I will give never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Jesus Christ was speaking concerning the coming of the Holy Spirit, the water of God, the water of life. How did this well come to us? How did this living water come to us? Because Jesus dug the well with his death on the cross. Buried, rose from the grave, ascended to the Father, sending us the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost as he promised. This is the invitation of the Holy Spirit. The invitation of the Holy Spirit to us is just this simple word, come. He didn't put any condition. He just said, come. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hear this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty, come. Let anyone who desire, drink freely from the water of life. The water is beneath. The breakthrough is beneath. God is saying, if you do your part of digging and singing, spring up a well. I will do my part to bring forth the water. I will show you favor. I will open new doors and I will give you water. this morning, the drought is over. If you want it to be over. The stream in the desert is here. Your life will once again grow and blossom with joy and rejoicing. Just dig and sing. I need and I must sing, spring out a well. How about you? Can I get a musician to come? A song to sing? Are you singing? Which song are you singing? Why don't we all stand up this morning as we sing this song, God, you are so good. To some of us, this may be just a children's church song. God, you are so good. I first learned to sing this song in children's church. But I think sometime we just need a simple thing. To erupt this heart that is being blocked, this well that is being blocked. God, you are so good. Holy Spirit, just fill this place with your tangible presence. Let your people joy and rejoicing, hope and expectation will be rekindled, will be renewed, will be refired in each one of us.